Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of the United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Both churches are back worshiping in person on Sundays, Salem at 8:30 and California at 10:30. Please join us in person or catch us online at our website, www.calmo-ucc.org. This Sunday, we are blessed to hear our adult choir present their Christmas cantata. I got to hear them practice Wednesday night, and it will be a powerful and uplifting presentation, just what we need this Christmas season. I encourage you to come this morning and hear them in person, and you won't be disappointed. This week, I read Psalm 81. I encourage the gentleman from our church to read Psalm 81 as well. The last several months, this gentleman and I have had many conversations about what God is trying to tell us through this pandemic. I thought Psalm 81, verses 13 and 14, said exactly what God is trying to tell us. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. What a simple message. Listen and follow God. That message hasn't changed since the Garden of Eden till now. Are you listening and following God each day? That should be our simple prayer each morning. Thank you for listening.
Warren Frederick and Grace Damp do our call to worship as they light the Advent candle for the third week of Advent, the candle of joy.
As we prepare to meet our Lord in this Advent time, we anticipate the great joy which will come to all people.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice.
Today we remember the hope and peace that Christ brings, and we light the candle of joy. May God's great joy shine in our hearts and lives. May God's great joy transform the world.
Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Come, O Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with your joy.
Special music is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee by our church's bell choir.
Thank you.
Carl Barber reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, Countdown to Christmas, The Person and the Presence.
The first lesson this morning is found in Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 through 7. This is part of the servant song. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring justice. He will not fail or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. Thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison those who sit in darkness. The second reading is from Matthew, reading from the first chapter, verses 18 through 23. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Bell Choir. I love the bells this time of year. Reminds me of the song I heard the bells on Christmas Day. One of the songs I love to hear this time. If you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 7, it's one of the major prophets. They call it major because they're the big prophet books. Isaiah has 66 chapters in it. I encourage you this coming year to read through Isaiah. It's called the fifth gospel because there's so much in there about Jesus' coming, about the person of Jesus, everything about Jesus. That's why they call it the fifth gospel. So add that to your reading list for this coming year. Count down to Christmas, 12 days away. Sophie and Bruce, have you been counting down how many days there are to Christmas? Do you know how many days? Are you ready? It kind of reminds me of a song. You know, you got 12 days of Christmas. You got some geese a-laying and some golden rings and some partridges. And I can't remember. Drummers drumming. I can't remember the rest of it. How many other birds we got in that thing? There's swans a-swanning or something. I don't know what the rest of it is. But two turtle doves? Okay, we got that there. Oh, lots of birds in this thing. I don't know why there's so many birds with Christmas, but for that one song, there's a lot of birds in it. But counting down to Christmas, we talked about, you know, how the Israelites had waited for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Now we're a little bit close. We're now a little bit over 700 years, and we're going to be looking at two of the most famous prophecies, the ones that are, you've already probably gotten Christmas cards with some of these verses on them, things that we've memorized and words that are so familiar to us. We're going to look at those a little bit this morning. When we think about Christmas, we think about people, we think about presents, we think about, you know, the guy in the red suit and all the presents he brings, or you maybe think about special gifts that you've gotten from family members maybe last year and ones that are coming this year. I'm wearing, I think, one from last year. I don't know who got me this. It's a beautiful tie. It's Jesus is the reason for the season, and I got a great collection of Christmas holiday ties. I've worn three of them so far, and so I'm looking forward to wearing the rest of them as we get closer to Christmas Day. And of course, I'll break out my red suit jacket on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But so that's a present I got right there. And then I got this one just yesterday. Person that knows me very well, Steve Berger and Laura stopped by the house, and he gave me the Mountain Dew cookbook. All right? Every recipe, most amazing recipes ever offered that you can put Mountain Dew in and use. All right? Lots of them have to do with apple dumplings. I don't understand that, but a lot of them have to do with apple dumplings. There's some jelly in there. I bought some of that jelly one time, so I've already had that. That was good. There's some cupcakes in there, so they know what I like. So I've got some good gifts. I have given out some bad gifts in my time. And my Aunt Barbara, who lives down in Texas, I took shop one year, and it kind of convinced me that that was not the career path I needed to go on. But part of what we had to do was make something and use tin or copper to, you know, stamp out something. And so I stamped out her name and address on a piece of copper and stuck it on this huge, you know, awful-looking piece of wood, and I stained it and everything. And she got that. She said it was the best thing. And I think she still has it displayed at her house today, probably almost 40 years later, that she still has this. But I wouldn't put that down as one of my best gifts. She's just humored me there for these last 40 years. But when we look at these passages we're going to look at this morning, we're going to look at the person, and we're going to look at the presence that he brought with him by the names that were given to him over 700 years ago. So let's look there at Isaiah chapter 7. And we're going to read the first few paragraphs so we can lay the foundation of when these prophecies about Jesus' birth was made. So let's start with verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 7. And in your bulletin, there's a little section if you want to write down some notes about the sermon or, you know, tic-tac-toe or whatever. There's a little spot for that there. But it says, when Ahaz, and he was the king of Judah at that time, Israel's in two kingdoms, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. Ahaz was son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, was king of Judah. King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. So Israel, or king of Judah, was in a, you know, people were trying to conquer it. It was political turmoil, it was international, you know, stuff going on. Sounds a lot like what's going on in our world today. And they were afraid of being overwhelmed and captured. But then the Lord sent Isaiah to the king. He says, go out and take your son. Meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, meaning these two kings that are trying to destroy them. He said, because they will be conquered. You know, in a couple years, these guys will be done away. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, the northern kingdom will be shattered, and they will be conquered. Then the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Think about that. Does that sound like applicable to us right now? If you will not stand in your faith, if you do not stand firm, you will not stand at all. So again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz says, I'm not going to ask the Lord for a sign. I won't put the Lord to a test. See, Ahaz had not been following God's laws. He was not one of the best kings. He did not obey God. And then Isaiah said this to him. Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will be eating curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. So in the midst of all this political turmoil and all the midst of this stress and everything, God gave him a sign, not only for then, but for all of us, that something's coming, that a son is coming, that someone from God is coming to deliver them. And we see here that it was a person coming in the shape of a human looking just like us. We see in Galatians chapter 4 that he says that he came at just the right time. We see in Hebrews chapter 1, why would God send somebody else, someone in the form of a human, when he had been using the prophets all these hundreds of years? We see the answer to that in Hebrews 1 and 2. He says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and many, many ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He said, I'm not messing around now. I've sent you anointed people that have delivered you a message, but now I'm sending my own son to deliver the message. And he's going to look just like you. He's going to talk just like you. He's going to bleed just like you. He's going to be hungry just like you. He's going to be thirsty just like you. He's going to get frustrated and disappointed just like you. but he's going to tell you the message straight to your face in a language that you can understand. And what did God say about Jesus? We don't hear him speak too many times, but we see when he came from his baptism, when he came out of the water, what did God say? He said, "This is my son, whom I love, whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." That's why Jesus came. He came to tell us the message from God himself. He says, I'm not going to just use anybody. I'm going to use my own son in the shape of a human just like you. But again, why did he send him in human form? We see in Hebrews chapter 2. He said, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, that so by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil." He not only was hungry, he not only was thirsty, but he went through the same physical death that is facing each one of us. And he came out victorious to show us that, hey, you're going to be victorious too if you follow me. But then he goes on, "For this reason he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." He's experienced everything that we've gone through so that he could deliver the message to us, so that we could understand it, so that we could respond to it. And the name that he has given, the first name that we see there, is Emmanuel, God with us. See, God has initiated the relationship. He's not waiting for you to hunt and try to find him. It's not some magic code that you've got to figure out, some little crossword puzzle, or it's not Wheel of Fortune when you got to guess letters and figure it out at the end. He says, just like Ahaz, just like King Herod, just like all the prophets, I'm giving you a sign. Are you paying attention? And he says, I'm coming to live amongst you so you can live amongst me for all of eternity. So he spoke that language so we could understand it. But what presence did he bring with him? Well, that leads us to our second passage found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. He starts out there, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." He brought presence with him. He's just not going to be with us, but he brought things with us to keep with us forever, not just a tie that might wear out or something else that we'll get and then we'll throw away, or we donate to a local, charity so they can give to somebody else. A lot of times people, say presents are bad for Christmas because they distract us from the real meaning of Christmas. I blame the wise men for that one, don't you? They're the first ones that brought the presents, aren't they? They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and kind of set the standard pretty high for all of us. But in the names that Jesus has listed for him there in Isaiah chapter 9, we get the idea of what gifts that he brings us for each and every day of our life. First one is Wonderful Counselor. A comforter, someone that brings us wisdom, someone that brings us comfort when we need it. I was flipping through the channels this morning as I was kind of getting ready for the day, and I think Dr. Phil's on 24 hours a day. I mean, I don't think I would want to bring my personal, baggage with me for millions of people to see. The reason I go to a counselor, I want it kept private, all right? But no, they go out there, and before Dr. Phil, who do we have? Jerry Springer. Even worse, didn't we? And before that, we had Dear Abby. You write it for everybody to read and find out, even though you kind of hide your names a little bit. But they're looking for help. They're looking for assistance. They're looking for comfort. What kind of comfort do we get from our God, the Wonderful Counselor? He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." When we lose someone, we see from the Gospels how God comforts those that are hurting. We see it in John chapter 11. Jesus comes upon his best friends, Mary, Martha. They had lost Lazarus, his best friend. He sees the grief. He sees the emotion. He sees the tears. He even cries, even though he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he gives them hope, and he gives them a promise. He says, if you believe in me and you follow me, you will never die. In the midst of personal failure, in personal public humiliation, we see in John chapter 4 and John chapter 8, the woman at the well and the woman caught in adultery. Both of them very public. The woman at the well had been married 5 times, living with another man, and Jesus says, hey, I'm going to give you drink and you'll never be thirsty again. And then he tells her about her life and he says, man, tell everybody to come and see the man that told me everything ever about me. He took her and he restored her. And then we see John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery. They're ready to kill her, and Jesus stood between her and the crowd. He got rid of the crowd, but then he dealt with her and he restored her and he gave her this message. Go and sin no more. You know, he comforted her, but then he gave her direction because he's the great counselor. He gives us the wisdom to live our life. The second name that we see there is Mighty God. Isaiah writes this in the last chapter of Isaiah. Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? That's a pretty amazing God, isn't it? That the earth is his footstool. That the heaven, the skies that we look at, the stars that we look at, that's just his throne and the earth is his footstool. I don't know how many people saw the sunrise on Friday morning driving to Jeff City. I was going to the dentist. I needed a bright sunrise to kind of cheer me up at 7 o'clock in the morning driving to the dentist on a Friday. Not the way I wanted to start it, but it was amazing. It was beautiful. That same God, the one that created this universe, the one that created me and you, creates a brand new person in Jesus because of our faith in him. He told that to Nicodemus. He says, you'll have to be born again. Paul wrote it this way. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new has come. No matter what your past looks like, no matter what the past of somebody in your family looks like, when they come to Christ and put their faith in him, all that's gone. And the power of creation makes a brand new person. We see the power of those changed lives in the Gospels, the demon-possessed man, the leper, people that no one wanted to touch, people ran away from, but there was one person that went to them, that was Jesus, because he had the power to change, not only to heal the physical ailments, but change the inside and create a brand new person. That's the mighty God that we serve. The third present that we see through the name there is Everlasting Father. An eternal Father, one that's been there in the beginning, that one will be there when we take our last breath on this side of eternity. We step into eternity. He will be there when we take that trip to go on into that passage. But he's an everlasting Father. Many of us may not have had the best fathers. Some of us, our fathers are no longer here on this physical earth. They've earned their heavenly reward or gone on into eternity. The writer of Hebrews says it this way about the children of God. In Hebrews chapter 2, when he talks about the family of God, I used to have it right here somewhere. Where'd I put that at? Can't find it right now. I'm sorry, but he says that we are all part of the family of God, and he's not ashamed to call us a brother or a sister. And he provides for us. We'll never hunger, we'll never thirst, we'll never walk in darkness, and we'll never die. Even here in a few minutes, we will pray the Lord's Prayer, and our first two words are what? Our Father, because he's the everlasting Father. And then the last thing that we get there is Prince of Peace. My Uncle Bob's dad's name was J.P. Houseman. And I could give you 1,000 tries, if you've not heard this story before, I could give you 1,000 tries, and you would never guess his name. I would bet Lanny Ash's salary, all right, that you would never guess his name in 1,000 tries, all right? But if I gave you the day that he was born on, you might start to get an idea. He was born on November 11th, 1918. Does anybody know what day that is in history? Armistice Day. I was a little disappointed last week. I asked one of my daughters what the next day was going to be, December 7th. What does December 7th mean to you? And she goes, I said, that's the day we live in infamy. And she did know. I was discouraged by that. But November 11th, 1918 says this, at the 11th hour on the 11th day of the 11th month of 1918, the Great War ends. At 5 a.m. that morning, Germany, bereft of manpower supplies and faced with imminent invasion, signed an armistice agreement with the Allies in a railroad car outside Compiègne, France. Remember that. Remember that. The First World War left 9 million soldiers dead and 21 million wounded. With Germany, Russia, Austria, France, and Great Britain, each lost nearly 1 million or more lives. In addition, at least 5 million civilians died from disease, starvation, or exposure, 1914 to 1918. World War I was known as the war to end all wars because of the great slaughter and destruction it caused. But unfortunately, a peace treaty that officially ended the conflict, the Treaty of Versailles in 1919, forced punitive terms on Germany that destabilized Europe and laid the groundwork for World War II. Germany never forgot the end of the war. They signed an agreement. We had peace in our time, but Germany never forgot. And when they invaded France, during the start of World War II, and they conquered France, where do you think they made France sign the surrender? In that railroad car in Compiègne, France. Yeah, they had had peace, but they had never forgotten the bitterness, the anger, the hatred, and they were going to make somebody pay. Doesn't that sound a lot like us a lot of times? Yeah, we have peace, things are quiet, but we harbor in our hearts anger and resentment. And the only way that we can have peace is to have peace with God first, so we can have peace with our fellow man. My Uncle Bob's dad's name was Joy Peace Houseman. Remember, this was a man, all right? And you understand why he went by J.P. Houseman, Bill, all right? But his mother was so overjoyed that the World War was ending, she named her son Joy Peace because she knew the destruction that war had caused in that world. Only through Jesus do we have that peace. He has started the peace process. Are we going to meet him and have the peace of Christ in our lives? I brought a gift with me. It's not for me. It's for my daughter, Amy. It's from Betty. She's got it wrapped and ready for the Christmas tree. I don't know what it is. I got to confess. You know, that's why she didn't put my name on here, because I didn't help buy it, all right? But I don't know what it is. I can look at it. I can shake it. I can sniff it a little bit. But until I open this present, I'll never know what's in it. I'll never receive the benefits of the present. It's the same way with Jesus. Until we open that present, until we identify and believe in the person of Christ, we cannot receive the gifts and the presence that he brings with him. And see, the story is right here. The same signs that were given to Ahaz, the same signs that were given to King Herod about where Jesus was going to be born, the ones that they ignored, the ones that people ignore still today, they're all right here. And we need to open up this right here, see the signs, see the hints, open the present, meet the person of Jesus, and benefit from the gifts and the presence that he brings us. Not a new tie, not a present or whatever's in that present right there, but he brings with us the power, the peace, the comfort, the eternal security, and the relationship with him. But you have to open the present. Make this the season you open that present, get to know Jesus, and bring those presents into your life to use and be part of your every single day life.